Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. Happy New Year in 2024. You guys, this is an episode that has become a fun tradition that I look forward to every single year, and I also dread every single year. And the reason I look forward to it is because it's a real opportunity for me to take a step back, look at the industry, look at my experiences over the last year, and create my New Year's resolutions that if I was a destination marketer, these would be my New Year's resolutions for the year. The reason I dread it, I don't get a guest. So it's just me talking the entire time. So I can balance that. I'll be all right today, and I hope that you will too. But I've put a lot of thought into this episode, and I really feel like the New Year's resolutions that I'm going to be going through today may be the most important that I've done so far over the years. I believe this is my fourth New Year's resolutions episode, and this one's really critical. I see the next several years for destination marketing being pivotal for the future of each destination, and I want to make sure that everybody is thinking about not only what's coming up in 2024, but also thinking about the next 5, 10, 15 years, and the decisions that we make in 2024 are going to have an impact on the years to follow. So I hope that everybody can listen to these resolutions that I'll be going over and hopefully apply several of these in your organization in 2024 and have it impact your long-term legacy in your destination. So let's first start with New Year's resolution number one, and it's paired with an announcement that I'm really excited about as well. And ever since ChatGPT launched back in, I guess, November of 2022, the velocity of which things have been changing is crazy. And it's been really fun to watch the innovation and the increase in opportunity to use technology over time. And one of the things that it's really changed is content, where content, especially some of the generic content that was being created in the past, has become somewhat commoditized. But I look at it a different way, that there's an opportunity here from a content perspective to really increase the value of the content that you're creating and also increase the efficiency at which you create it. And I looked at the fact, and by the way, I have to also give credit to a friend of mine who I've had on the show, and if his episode hasn't released yet, it will shortly. His name's Sean Canungo, and Sean is really, really big on innovation, and he teaches people. In fact, he spoke at Esto last year, and it was great of him to mention the Destination Marketing Podcast on stage. But Sean really gives you a framework for innovation, and he launched something that I thought was really, really cool. He took all of his content that he's done over the last several years, and he uploaded it into his own GPT. And so now you can have a chatbot that gives you access to all of the different content that he's created and the way that he would answer some of your questions. I thought it was a brilliant execution, and what I recognized is we could do the same thing with all of the content we've created with the Destination Marketing Podcast, with my book, Touchpoints, and with a lot of the other podcasts that we've created as an organization meant to educate and provide value to the industry. And so we have now launched, and I'm so excited about this, we've launched Destination Marketing GPT. This is a GPT that allows you, if you have ChatGPT 3.5 or higher, you have the ability to access this, and you'll essentially get answers to your questions based on the content that I've created over the last 4 years, including my book, including the podcast that we've had in our organization, and of course, the Destination Marketing Podcast. So the knowledge that you've gotten from me, my guests, you'll be able to get that back in a much more tailored format if you're using Destination Marketing GPT. I'll give you an example. We asked ChatGPT, the generic version, to create a tactical marketing plan for a tourism destination. And it gave us all the tactics and lined them out. I thought it was really interesting. And then when we asked Destination Marketing GPT the exact same question, Destination Marketing GPT took those same tactics, made a couple of changes, but then provided budget percentages that should go to those tactics. And so you had different tactics based on the content that I've produced in the past and how we focused on different tactics in marketing and gave percentages of how it should be allocated. And it was really clear, and it was really consistent with what I would have said if somebody had asked me the question. So really exciting. What I hope it does for each of you is makes your time to get answers to your questions a lot shorter. And so if you have a question related to destination marketing, go in, put in your question to Destination Marketing GPT, and hopefully you will get an answer as if Adam Stoker was responding to you right then. Some of you may not want that, but I assume if you're listening to this show that that would be a value to you. So please go and use Destination Marketing GPT. That's New Year's resolution number one. Hopefully I can shorten the amount of time you're spending to get things done. Number two, there's something that I've really learned and has become very, very apparent to me over the last year. And that is the idea that I see so many destinations that I call follow-on destinations. And that means they look at what the leaders in the industry are doing, the tactics that they're doing, and they duplicate those tactics and try them in their destination. And while I think that I see the logic behind that, I wanna take a different logical approach here. So number two is, if your plan is to gain market share by using the same tactics that someone with a larger budget has, you are guaranteed to fail. And the reason you're guaranteed to fail is they have a bigger budget, they have more resources, and if you're doing the same exact thing that they are, there's no way you can beat them. And so what I would like for every destination to be thinking about is, instead of being a follow-on destination, and first of all, let's identify, are you a follow-on destination? Well, look around. Are you doing the same things as your competitors? Do your video ads or your print ads or your digital ads, if we changed out your logo and a catchy headline, would it be the same as your competitors? And if it is, I'm asking you to change, take a risk, do something drastic, do something different. That's why over the course of the last year and a half, we have been so focused on owned media. I'm trying to encourage people to do something different, because you cannot beat your larger competitor at the same game that they are playing. You cannot gain market share by copying someone else. You need to do something different. You need to do something that actually builds an audience for you. So please look around, ask yourself if you're a follow-on destination, and if you are, make that change in 2024. Do something different, take a risk, don't duplicate other people's tactics. Number three, we talk a lot about sustainability in our industry. We talk about sustainability of assets. We talk about sustainability of our economy. And for some reason, we do not treat marketing with the same angle on sustainability. And what I mean by that is, we are given, or we as tourism destinations are given, an annual budget that's allocated either by the municipality that we serve or by the other government organization that funds us, or even by a TBID or whatever. So when we receive that funding, a lot of destinations are treating it as just this expendable asset that we know we're going to get replaced next year. But when you think about marketing, If I spend $2 million a year in a marketing budget through paid media, if I don't have anything to show for that at the end of the year, is that sustainable? And then when I think about, and this is the question you need to ask yourself, if your budget went away next year, which, by the way, COVID hopefully scared a lot of us that question is not as unrealistic of a question as it sounds like, because a lot of our funding was put in jeopardy when COVID hit. If our budget was taken away next year, what assets would we have to be able to continue to promote the destination? If you don't have anything, if there's no answer to that question, you are not approaching marketing from a sustainable perspective. And so if you're marketing sustainably, creating owned media assets that you can use that are evergreen, long-term, is critical in order for you to actually have a sustainable approach to marketing. And this idea of taking 90% of your annual marketing budget, spending that on paid media that is only designed around encouraging people to visit, I think it's a losing game. And I think what you're actually doing is fiscally irresponsible. So again, think about sustainability from a marketing perspective and make sure that you have components of your marketing plan that create sustainability, that create evergreen assets, that will allow you to market the destination even if your budget goes away. So that's number three. I think that's really, really important. Number four, there is a huge paradigm shift in the way people are consuming content, and the destination marketing industry has not caught up. And what I mean by that is we are looking at paid media as buying ads. And as a whole in the industry, I see everyone buying ads. However, that does not align with the way people are consuming content. So I'm not saying don't buy ads anymore. I'm saying don't look at it that way. People want to consume content. So what's happening outside the destination marketing industry is instead of people just buying ads with a call to action, they are creating engaging content and promoting that content. So creating really valuable content and putting paid media behind the content that demonstrates that it resonates with the visitor. We'll talk a little bit about a framework for that later in this discussion, but this paradigm shift is really, really important. Stop thinking about paid media as buying ads and start thinking about it as promoting content. If you're not putting paid media behind something that you would enjoy consuming, it's very unlikely that the visitor is going to enjoy engaging with your ads. So stop buying ads and start promoting content. If you don't have content worth promoting, you got a big problem that you need to fix. But let's change that paradigm and let's stop just buying ads. It's a losing game. Okay, number five, use creators and not influencers. I had earlier this year, CrowdRiff sponsored an episode, and I had their CEO, his name's Dan Holowack, on the podcast, and Dan talked about the difference between creators and influencers. That episode really, really resonated with me. Dan talked about how influencers, and when you look at an influencer, their job is to overtly, in a lot of cases, pitch products. They've already built the audience. They've got a ton of followers. I'm thinking about the Kim Kardashians of the world that will promote their products pretty overtly. That's an influencer. And I look at that as really a transactional relationship. It's also in the old paradigm, in my mind, of buying ads. The way I would look at a content creator is someone who creates really entertaining content that features your product. So you're not buying an ad. You're essentially doing what has been done for years is product placement in content. And content creators take much more care to create that engaging content, something that is consumer-centric, and they will feature your product on the back end. There's a ton of examples of this out there, but I think it's really, really important that we shift our budget from influencers to content creators. And by doing that, I think you'll make your marketing tactics much more effective. You'll connect better with the visitor because you're providing content that's in the format that they want to consume it. So again, stop paying influencers and start engaging with content creators. Okay, number six, there is a framework for building audiences. And this is something that anybody that's looking at getting into owned media, it's not enough just to create the asset. You also have to build an audience around that asset. And the way to build an audience around that asset is to first create at least one, what we call content pillar. Okay. So a content pillar would be a documentary, a YouTube series, an episodic video streaming series, or even a podcast. That's a content pillar that creates a large amount of keyword-rich content that is a pillar that can be sliced up in a variety of different ways. So create that pillar and let that be the core of your content strategy. Then phase two is you slice up that content pillar into dozens and dozens and dozens of different pieces of bite-sized content. This can be video content. This can be audio content. This can be transcription of a podcast that's turned into blog and social content. Okay. Take that content pillar and slice it up into a whole bunch of different ways. And instead of in your promotion of that content, remember, we're not buying ads, we're promoting content. Instead of your promotion of the destination in that content, promote the content pillar. Ask people to go consume the entire story. If there's a really interesting video clip, and actually I'm going to give you an example with Visit Myrtle Beach. So Visit Myrtle Beach is doing a collaboration with a company called Ice Shaker. Really, really fun. In fact, Ice Shaker is owned by Chris Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski's brother, and an amazing piece of content that Visit Myrtle Beach created was a 6-episode series featuring Chris and Rob and it's co-branded between Ice Shaker and Myrtle Beach. And it features the two of them competing in really funny, simple games. So, for example, golfing on a beach and trying to get a ball in a hole on the beach, not just golfing at a golf course, but like this really kind of funny situation where they're trying to get a ball in a hole on a beach. And that is content that we can slice up in dozens of different ways. Take that video content. We're in the process of creating this right now, but take that video content and then use the small clips of that video to drive people to go watch the entire series of the Ice Shaker games. Okay. So that's the point of this, is to make sure that you're taking these content pillars, slicing it up, and then using the slices of that content to drive back to the pillar. Once you've driven back to the pillar, now it's time for us to try to engage and build a relationship with that audience by asking them for permission to market to them. This, we call this the active community step in the process. This is where we'll ask for their email, we'll ask for their text information, we'll ask them to join a group or subscribe to the content pillar, whatever it is, but we're building a relationship with them at that point. And the goal is to get them to give us permission to market to them, especially through email, where if you have a good CRM, you can actually monitor their activity on the website and start to serve them customized content based on their interests on your website. And so I think it's really, really important that as we're thinking about building an audience, we don't ask too much of the visitor. We don't ask them to book a trip. We ask them to go back to the content pillar. Once they consume the content pillar, we'll get their permission. We'll then inspire them with custom content, and then we will encourage them to book a trip. So I think that's a really important change that needs to happen in the way we're marketing, and especially if we're trying to build an audience. Okay, number seven. We've gone through this entire process of building a custom GPT for destination marketing GPT. Now I want you to think about the volume of content that every individual tourism destination creates. Think of your website content. Think of all the different blog posts you've ever created. Think of your travel guide. Think of, you've got all these different assets, all the emails that you've ever sent. You can actually take all of those assets and build a custom GPT of your own. And the process for that is definitely complicated. We ran into a lot of roadblocks as we were building it for destination marketing GPT, but we were able to figure it out. We're also looking for five pilot destinations that are interested in creating a GPT for the tourism destination. If you want to be one of those five pilots and want to engage with us to build that for you, we would love to try it out and make sure that we work out the kinks and create a repeatable product for lots of tourism destinations to create. If you want to work with us to be a pilot to create your own GPT, let me know. Reach out to me at adam@relicagency.com. We'll build one for you, and those that get in early, of course, it'll be priced according to the fact that there's going to be some trial and error there and collaboration between our two teams. And the last thing the last resolution I would have here is, you guys, if you are looking to get into owned media and the things that I've said today resonate with you as a better way to market, if you want to market in a more sustainable way, if you want to build evergreen owned media assets, if you want to start building audiences instead of just renting access to someone else's audience, hire Relic. We have been working for a very long time on this. We are the only agency that I'm aware of that is focused specifically on building audiences for tourism destinations through owned media. If you're listening to this show, it's because we've successfully gotten you to be part of our audience. We know how to do this. We've done it for ourselves. We can do it for you. Hire Relic in 2024 to get you started on a sustainable approach to destination marketing, building audiences through owned media creation, and we can build a much more sustainable marketing plan for you in your destination. You guys, 2024 is going to be an incredible year. There is a lot of uncertainty in 2024, but I believe that you can control the outcome for your destination by, for one, being positive and having a good outlook on 2024, and for two, being very intentional in your approach to the year. Do something different. Don't copy the tactics of your competitors, especially if they have a bigger budget. Make sure that you are in control of 2024 and that you are influencing the outcome. And I can assure you, you're going to be very, very glad you did at the end of the year. I hope you all have an incredible year. I know we're going to have an incredible year here at Relic. And I really, really am excited for some of the things that are coming up for the industry. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for being a part of our audience. I'm so grateful for the many of you that have reached out to me directly that let me know that you listen to the show. I'm thankful to all the guests that we've had over the year, and of course to all of you for listening to the show. If you're enjoying it, please like and subscribe. We're excited to continue to bring you amazing content in 2024. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week and a great year.